Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by Cliff Simon, who is the CEO and founder of Polaris. Cliff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mason. That's way too much energy for...
I'm genuinely super excited to be here because one of the things that you are doing with Polaris is helping people actually understand effective AI implementation to run their revenue operations programs. And if you're anything like me and you rewind to my life 5 years ago, none of that made sense. And there's a lot of hype and a lot of words that we just throw around. So I'm excited for this episode because we're going to dig into, like, fundamentally, first, when we use the word RevOps, what is that? And then second, where is it overhyped to do AI implementation? Where are the right places to be looking? And how do you think through actually making a more effective and streamlined RevOps program? So that said, Cliff, what the heck is RevOps?
I like to think of RevOps as the intersection of all the things that actually make your go-to-market run. Systems, processes, insights and analytics, you know, that entire data layer, and then the enablement that makes that happen, whether that's on the customer side or internally.
I love it. So when we think about RevOps, again, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing between marketing, sales, customer success that are trying to make the business grow, keep customers happy, keep customers coming in. At the intersection of all of that is a generally small but mighty team of revenue operations people that make sure all of those things run well together. And you can then actually use good data to make effective decisions on how to make all that work. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I think the other thing that we have to remember is that RevOps is a thought partner to the executives in the firm. Right? The role of RevOps and those executives is to have a maniacal focus on the customer journey and to make sure that everything that they're doing for their business is reflective of that customer journey. So if you understand that, you understand how people buy, you understand what people want, you understand the value that you're delivering, then you can have a real conversation.
I love it. This may unintentionally be a hot topic, but I'm curious on your perspective as, like, the difference between RevOps, marketing ops, sales ops, CS ops. Like,
so RevOps is that interstitial tissue, right? And that can be broken down either by a functional alignment or departmental one. If you're talking about sales ops, mar ops, CS ops, fin ops, that's a departmental thing, right? And the whole concept behind RevOps originally was that you would get rid of those departmental silos and encourage cross-departmental collaboration and understanding of the customer journey by jumping over to more of a functional understanding. So an analytics team working together, a systems team working together, all of them sitting in on the regular weekly and monthly cadences with the sales team, the marketing team, the CS team, product, et cetera.
I love it. So again, the goal here of RevOps is to help break down the different silos so that you're not just like, how is marketing driving the business forward, but it's how are we driving revenue forward across all the different departments.
Yeah, and all we've done with RevOps is taken concepts from, like, Lean Six Sigma. It's all about driving operational efficiency. It's all it really is.
I love it.
I think what happened is we had too much money that was free for too long, and people just started doing things. And I'm like, I got to rein that back in.
Yeah. Now we understand what RevOps is, how it's different than all other functional operations teams. And now we move over into probably the most overhyped thing of all time, which is AI. It feels like suddenly, I mean, there's been billboards that are like, don't hire humans, hire AI. So, like, it's gone pretty extreme on that front. So when we think about AI and RevOps, I'm curious, like, how are you thinking through, one, where you'll never implement AI in a RevOps context, and then two, how to actually have a diagnostic approach for AI implementation?
So a couple things there. I really wish I was still wearing the shirt I wore yesterday, which is my people, process, tech, right? That's the order. We have to understand how people operate and what they want, how we communicate with one another. That's baseline, right? So human psychology, business acumen, super important things that AI cannot readily replicate. AI is really good at doing number crunching. It's really good at looking at vast pieces of information that we can't stitch together and finding the correlations, finding causation. Like, AI is great for that. Thank God, because I can't do that much math. My wife would kill me. The other piece to be thinking about is when you talk about the implementation, most people don't have the bottom data layer set up correct, right? The foundation isn't there. Everyone wants to use AI, but no one's ready for it. They haven't done the work. So a lot of what needs to be done in the here and now to get AI to work is you have to build up that foundational data layer. You have to have a glossary of terms. You have to have the capability to teach the AI what all that means, right? My five-year-old, I can't tell him to go put away all the dishes from the dishwasher into the right places if I don't tell him what everything is and where it goes and what it, like, how to categorize it. If he doesn't know the difference between a fork and a knife, then he's going to put things in the wrong spot. If he doesn't know the difference between a bowl and like a kid's plate, like, obviously he knows those things and he's able to do that because of it, but you have to train it. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And as far as like where AI is right now, there's a lot of pretenders. There's a lot of people that have awesome marketing, but the product's not great. And that's because the majority of the tech that's out there right now is built for people who are already across the chasm, right? They're built for the hackers. They're built for the people who are really interested in going down this path, people who are not the lay population. My grandmother's not going to go and use most of the technology that exists today. The next wave of AI tools, when we have that level of colloquialism, that natural, true natural language capability, where someone can speak to it and get it to interact with them, very similar to what we see with ChatGPT, that at a grander scale within our technology, I think that's where we start to see an unlock.
So there's a couple of things you outlined that I think are pretty critical, because a lot of people are still using a lot of AI tools and expecting it's a tool, it should out of the box just do what it needs to do. But like, I think, at least to my knowledge, AI is the only tool that you do need to train, which is why it can be so impactful. So I'm curious, when you think about setting up those foundations, like, I think everybody probably rolled their eyes a little bit at the idea of like a glossary of terms. But when I ask marketers and sellers, like, what's a lead? They don't know. So like, how do you expect your AI tools to know where to categorize things? So I'm curious, how do you lead that kind of a process to make sure you have those right foundations for some kind of AI implementation?
You have the conversation. If you can't agree at the board level what your data is, how could you possibly expect the rest of your team to know, or any agentic solution that you do then deploy? You have to have that uniformity throughout the organization, right? If without it, you can't run. It won't work. What you're going to put in, you know, we always say like good in, good out, right? Garbage in, garbage out. This only amplifies it, right? If you're walking 1 degree off of your path and you're doing it under human power, you're going to, after a while, end up off course, but you're going to be able to recognize that more quickly, right? If you do that with AI, you're accelerating that path. Now I'm going that 1 degree off course, but I'm doing it at 120 miles an hour. All of a sudden, I stop to take a look around and nothing looks like what it's supposed to. And I'm so far away from where I thought I was going to end up.
Yeah. So again, it sounds basic, but actually sit down, define what your terms mean, and then make sure that within the context of your current technology, like your CRM and marketing innovation platform, that the things you say are like an MQA or an MQL or an SQA or whatever your terminology is, right? You actually have the right workflow set up so that those definitions are automatically true within the context of your CRM. Like, that's fundamentals.
That, and then alongside that, capture the data points that you want to be able to focus on. So capture competitive mentions, capture RFP timelines, like any of that stuff should be captured in a rich text field or some other place that you can then go back and leverage a tool to read, give context to, and then it can help you understand so that you can look at the data, and then the human being should then infer the insight. Technology is not going to replace people. People who use technology will replace people.
I love it. So one thing I want to go back to is, as you're thinking about AI implementation, it feels like people are trying to truly replace entire teams with some form of AI. So I'm curious, in the current state, what are the things that you look at and you're like, no, we're not even going to remotely even think about doing some form of AI implementation or replacement in these specific areas right now?
in the here and now, you're not going to use AI to implement most technology, again, because you have to have the conversations. I think there's the capability for it to take on some of that, but by and large, it's humans talking to other humans, understanding, driving the business context. I think that's the one thing humans are really good at compared to computers. We understand both the business context and the technical requirement. So I need to get to set outcome. How do I do that with technology? The AI only says, I'll build, right?
Yep.
But you have to give it the context and have someone to give it that level of oversight. The stuff that is going away very quickly is content, right? I'm sure you guys are seeing it. SEO is tanking. Native search is tanking. Paid is tanking. And GEO is up. So how do you redefine? Like I think about like we're in the world you guys live in. How do you redefine and now write articles, blogs, etc., for a computer to consume it versus a human to consume it? That's a fairly significant shift.
So what I'm hearing is, again, you're not going to be able to have an AI fully implement your technologies for you. You're still going to have people doing that. But there are maybe specific outputs where it can be AI enabled. Things like, quick context here, this podcast recording will get uploaded into an AI tool that will post produce a draft of blogs and socials and email content. And like, it took our transcript, it's going to turn it into other assets. And again, it's not perfect, but it's a far expedited process that then enables a human to come back in and edit and finalize and then launch.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I do all my LinkedIn posts, right? I take my transcripts, I go back through, find really interesting use cases that I'm talking to people about, and then I start writing about them.
Yeah, I love it. So as you're thinking about when it comes to actually doing some form of AI implementation, I'm going to make an assumption, which is a large assumption for us to make, but let's say someone's got the right foundation to implement AI, which is probably like 1% of companies, but they've got the right foundation, they're ready to get forward or move forward with it. Where are you seeing some of the most immediate value in areas of optimization that AI can support?
Salespeople getting time back and actually being able to spend and focus more time talking to their customers because it's automating a lot of the administrative tasks. You're able to get a lot more iteration on copy and A/B testing out the door because you can write copy faster than you could, right? I don't need a massive team to do that. I can do that with a quarter of a marketer now. Where else are we seeing really cool stuff? Being able to use AI to predict deals and help you with forecasting. That's getting better and better by the day. We use copy. That's been really good for us as far as like some of the deep research. We use Loi.ai for deep research at an account level. Yeah, I think the other one I was talking about the forecasting, I've been using Qflow since 2022 when we were growing Carabiner and my sales cycle was 30 days, but my average time to hire a person to do that work was 60. It helped us really plot out the ability to understand opportunities that would be created in the future that didn't yet exist so that we could then predict hiring against it. So that was really beneficial and super crucial for us as we grew the company.
I love it. So what I'm hearing is deal forecasting, it is a lot more on the content side from a marketing perspective, and then also just overall helping make sure that some of the admin side of sales is removed from a salesperson's plate so they can get some time back. Those sounds like the three biggest areas of immediate optimization.
Also just serving things up on a platter for them, right? Like you get multi-threaded at the right stage. Here's the assets that you need typically at this stage based off of our sales pattern and the way customers buy. On the CS side, the big one for a lot of folks right now is deflection and case resolution, right? Agents can answer questions. They don't go to sleep. I don't need a person there all the time. And if it's a tier one, maybe a tier two issue, they're giving the right information. And people don't care if they're talking to an agent or if they're talking to a person, as long as they're getting their problem resolved. And if we can get them to a happy resolution faster, that's awesome, right? Which means we can have our people on the CS side of the house spending more time on the really difficult issues where they need to be side by side with those customers, whether it's whiteboarding an idea out or triaging, whatever it might be. We want to be able to allow people that time and flexibility to give our customers the care that they deserve.
I love it. Yeah, it just I've heard some companies that have done a lot on the specifically customer support side, and they've actually seen an increase in customer satisfaction because of the time to resolution. And again, a lot of the customer support requests are the same questions over and over again. They're just like, hey, you should go check out this link. And like, you don't need a person for that. You just need somebody that can like, or a thing that can route the person on the other end to the right thing. And then again, it's easy to loop a human in. And if there needs to be a human looped in, it can be done at 8 a.m. the following morning. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're good to go.
Yeah. Spara does a really good job of that with chat.
Very cool. So Cliff, I'm curious, as people are thinking about, again, doing some form of AI implementation, it's, I mean, there are some people out there that are truly wild. Like, I'm sure you and I have both seen some things from our friend Adam Robinson, who's like, I implemented AI across my entire company and now everything's running. And I don't know that's for everyone. So as you're thinking about taking a measured approach to AI implementation, what are some of your recommendations as a way in which people can start to implement AI, but have some safeguards to make sure that it goes well?
Don't expect the world, right? This is going to be game changing, but it's going to be a crawl, walk, run. You have to get the data layer done, right? Once you've got that, you can start creating simple agentic workflows. You're trying to create synergies. God, I hate that word, but you're trying to line things up so that people across the organization can work better together. You're trying to make sure that you have that additional capacity within the team. Big theme right now with a lot of CFOs is being able to continue to grow capacity without growing headcount. How do you do that? You take administrative burdens off of people's desks. You allow people to focus on higher level tasks. You, even from like a RevOps perspective, let the RevOps, like the technology, do a whole bunch of things for them so they can focus on more strategic issues instead of always firefighting, right? Those same principles apply internally. And then the other place I think that's probably the one that people don't talk about enough is enablement.
Yeah.
Use AI to train, right? And not just your sellers. Use AI to train your leaders, because most of them haven't had a leadership training. They don't know how to lead people. They were really good sellers. They never got taught how to manage someone. They never got taught how to develop somebody. They never got taught how to understand the things that intrinsically drive people and help them focus that into some type of meaning in their work.
Couldn't agree more. Cliff, thanks so much for joining me on this episode today. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, or you can find us at PolarisOps.com.
I love it. And I know that you are doing quite a bit of in-person roadshows coming up. So if people want to hang out in person, where are you guys going to be?
Yeah, I guess this is going to air end of September. So we're going to be in Atlanta, October 10th, Austin, October 23rd. We'll be in Chicago on the 5th of November. We're finalizing a date for Boston later in November. And we're also potentially doing Toronto in November. And then we'll be in New York City the week of Salesforce World Tour.
I love it. Again, if you're in those cities, go hang out with Cliff. If you want to learn more about AI implementation and RevOps, go follow Cliff on LinkedIn. Again, Cliff, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.